Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniels, Tennessee Honey, and Co-Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan. My collaborator Charlie Harding is somewhere on a flight over the middle of the country right now, so sadly he couldn't be here, but I'm so excited because I'm in the studio today with Amber Mark. Hello, Amber. Welcome.
Hello.
We are so excited to have you here. We've been listening to your EP 3:33 a.m. endlessly on repeat, heavy rotation,
thank you.
As they used
thank
to say.
You very much. I'm very happy to be here too.
And so it's thrilling. We're going to talk to you not only about some of your own music, but also some of the music on the pop charts that you've been digging lately. And when I asked you what song on the top 40 had you really excited right now, your answer kind of surprised me, because when we listen to your music, our listeners will see it's very soulful, full of rich vocal harmonies and beautiful jazzy seventh chords, and then Humble, well, a fantastic song, and it's great because we haven't talked about Kendrick before, is not any of those things.
Yeah, that song has been really getting me going. It's probably my most listened to track right now, and I just also really like the message, so I figured it'd be a good one.
Right on. So let's spin the first verse and chorus of Humble.
Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this Parmesan with my accountant lips. In fact, I'm down in this Douce with my boo babe, tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy a Westie world with my pay stuff. I know that it's good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block, then break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM funk. Eat up your per diem, you just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke, put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble,
hold up.
Sit
hold
down,
hold up.
Be humble,
hold up.
Sit down, be humble,
hold up.
Sit down,
little.
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 Be humble,
hold up.
Sit down.
As soon as that beat drop, we both started nodding our heads.
Yes, definitely.
What draws you to this song? What do you? You said you liked its message. Maybe start there.
Yeah, I mean, I really like its message. I think what did really draw me, though, initially when I first heard it, because I don't, when I listen to music, I don't mainly go straight to the lyrics of a track. So definitely the production. I really just like that simple low piano thing that happens in it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds really sick. And I think the first time I heard it, I was in a car. And I feel like personally, the best place to listen to music is in a car and like really loud. And it was in California.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, I think, added to the whole experience of first hearing it. And I remember just being like wowed by that part. And then also the 808s. I just really enjoyed the production for sure. That was definitely what got me going first.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this secret dream of mine to produce music like that. So I think that's like a subtle jealousy of mine. Mm.
And when you say music like that, and we should mention at this point, this is a Mike Will made it
production. Yes, production, exactly.
That's straight out of Atlanta. When you say production like that, what elements are you referring to?
I'm talking about that heavy 808, very rap oriented, but done in a very tasteful way. Like, I feel like there's not a lot happening in the production there. It's quite minimal.
Right.
There's certain accents here and there that he has like some like synthy horns and stuff going on. I'm always very pro minimal production just because I feel like a lot of the time my production is quite minimal, and then I slowly start to add, which I'm always very hesitant to do. So I do really appreciate that side of it. It's a very like aggressive way, but done in such a beautiful way, like lyrically.
I love that. There's like aggression and beauty simultaneously, a very sparse, almost militaristic or something production. And then the lyrics are delivered in a really like fast, percussive, hyperrhythmic manner. But then the subject matter, in a way, has this interesting tension with the...
It's quite contradicting almost. But again, it's done. It works, which I think is really beautiful. And again, like I said, I didn't really hear the lyrics when I first listened to it. But when actually like looking up the lyrics or listening to it multiple times and catching certain parts, I think what really caught me lyrically was probably the second verse. I think also it's a message, the chorus. It's a message to really remind people, especially in the industry, whatever you're doing, it just, you know, be humble.
So verse two,
the most part that I thought was really important was the whole, I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro and Richard. That whole show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro and Richard Brown. Show me something natural. I wanna feel some stretch marks. Still a taking down right on your mama couch and polo sack.
I think it was really great that, first off, it was a man saying that instead of a woman, which I mean, of course, it's always great that women say that, but to hear it from a man who is trying to really show that a natural beauty and just being natural, because I feel like especially black women, which I feel like a lot of us know, they really are brainwashed in a sense with the media to want, you know, straight hair like this or get weave and, you know, just try and like completely alter their natural beauty, which I think that's what really attracted me lyrically to the song.
Yeah.
Is that he's talking about that. And then, of course, the way he delivers it is obviously amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
his rhythm and everything, the way he raps is amazing.
I love your insight there because you're right, especially in the second verse, there's maybe a lot that surprises us.
Yeah.
We have, as you say, like a male rapper talking about concerns that you don't usually hear from people like that.
Exactly.
And as we were describing, the production of the song is having this really sparse, aggressive aesthetic. I could play that all day.
Me too. I'll add up an octave higher.
It creates a productive dissonance or something where you expect that kind of beat to be, I don't want to be too derisive or something of trap hip hop, but maybe you expect a certain kind of attitude towards the opposite sex. And here he just totally subverts that.
Exactly. That's a very Kendrick thing to do. He always has a message, which is probably why he's one of my favorite rappers right now. And I think that's what's so beautiful. All of his songs, everything has meaning to it. And that's so important to me.
Mm.
And something that like I thought when I was writing my music, it was very important to me that it all had truth and it all had meaning and meant something to me personally and hopefully would mean something to other people. Something I'm trying to do right now while writing the album is just make sure that everything like is actually meaningful and has something behind it and has a story to tell. And that's what's so amazing about him to me personally.
I love that. Not only does the song have meaning, as you said, it for a long time was the number one song
in
the country, which is kind of incredible. Is that like encouraging to your
approach
definitely. As well?
I just love being able to connect with people and have them respond in a way that's telling me that it brings out emotion in them and touches them in a certain yeah. place where they really get emotional over it. So when people tell me that they've cried over my music, I don't want to be like, thank you, like that makes me so happy. But it really does, that I'm like being able to bring out emotion out of people, because yeah. personally, that's what makes a beautiful song, is whether it's happiness or sadness or anger or whatever it is, to be able to really bring out that emotion in someone. That's what music is for me personally.
I love that.
And they should all be number one. It's when it's like that.
Yeah. What a world.
It's even better when that happens.
those moments are nice.
Yes,
when,
they are.
When the song.
They're all right.
with meaning and the song that's popular yes. coincide.
Yes, I agree.
Maybe just one more thought about this Humble track. I think it all comes back to this piano line that kind of yeah. runs through the whole thing. And I think we can also use this in a way to pivot to talking about your music, because your music uses a lot of piano yes. as well. But this is like using piano in a way that is so anti-piano.
Piano, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like... like the whole beauty in a way of what you can do with a piano is you can make chords, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You can make beautiful harmonies yeah. that are lush and move you and inspire you. By contrast, this is just a single note
yeah.
piano line. Yes. I wonder if that's another element that makes the song like really effective, because the beat in many ways disorients us. It yeah. like doesn't use instruments in the way you expect.
But, yeah.
And even this line is a very tense line, because it's very far from the root of the song, which is, I guess, nominally A flat.
Yeah.
But then this bass line only touches on A flat a little bit. Mainly it hangs around this E flat.
Yeah, it always comes back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which yeah. is very suspenseful, because you yeah, don't really.
It's almost like building the whole time, pretty
right.
much.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then it goes down to that A flat where it's, you know, supposed to go. But then it immediately jumps back up. And then you're in that sort of place of suspense and yeah. anticipation again. So while there's not that much happening in a, I guess, melodic sense in this beat, what is happening is so calculated
yeah.
to kind of put you on edge and really pay attention, I think, to what Kendrick is saying.
Yeah, definitely helps. Again, it's that minimal, barely doing anything kind of, but it does a lot, which is, again, very beautiful.
Once again, we're here with Amber Mark. We're going to take a short break following our exegesis of Kendrick Lamar's Humble. Despite the song to me sounding so different from what Amber does, I'm really curious after the break to maybe see if we can't find some Uh-oh. Connections between these two worlds. So sit tight, and we'll be back with Amber Mark right after the break.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative, along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Co-Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Switched on Pop. We're here with Amber Mark. In the first half of the episode, we broke down Kendrick Lamar's Humble, a recent hit that Amber still has in her ears. But now we're going to turn to Amber's music. Of the 7 songs on your recent EP, 333 AM, I feel like we could pick any to dive into, but the one that is continually in my head is Lose My Cool.
It's one of my favorites, too.
Right on. Can we take a listen to that?
I was so full of pain just stuck in my head. There was no one that could get me out of it. Yes, I think the drinking was a bit excessive. Just to be frank, the drinking ain't what caused me to be aggressive. My heart has been taken over every day. I get colder too. I realize need to let go expression from the get-go too. Yeah.
It's really hard to pause that, but we'll come back. So, Amber, in addition to writing and singing, you also did the production on this track. Beautiful. I mean, I've a million questions, but I'll just ask like five of them. This track notably starts with piano and voice. Yes. I love the beginning of it because it really keeps you on your toes. Maybe there's a similarity with Kendrick, actually, because you have like a piano line and a vocal line that are both super syncopated. And there's nothing else happening. There's no percussion. There's no bass. So you as a listener are just constantly like trying to figure out where the beat is. And it's really and disorienting in a really good way. I would love to know, like, what was the first musical element of this song? Like, what was the first?
The piano, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I always start with piano. I think that's kind of why a lot of my music just starts with me and a piano. Just because I tend to start producing. But again, I really like using piano and stuff like that. I'm trying to like kind of steer away from that now just because I've done it so many times, but I always find myself coming back to doing that just because I find the beauty of just a voice in a piano to me is like so breathtaking when it's done right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I tried to accomplish that. Hopefully it's been working.
I mean, I think so. These chords that make up the backbone of Lose My Cool. Is that right?
Close. So.
It sounds pretty close. Okay, thanks.
It took me like 5 hours. It's actually quite crazy because I don't really know that much music theory. So I would spend like 4 hours just trying to, especially with that song, trying to come up with chord progressions and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're kind of finding these progressions by ear.
Yes, just by sitting at a piano and I'll have an idea in my head. So I'll try and admit it out, which takes forever.
Yeah.
And then it always ends up completely different to the idea that I started with because I like get frustrated.
Yeah.
So it takes me a while to really, especially just with even getting a piano. When I start laying down a beat, it's much easier because I'm just using the piano as like a MIDI controller.
I see. Right, right. So that's fascinating to me because these chords sound very sophisticated to me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're these gorgeous, like, lush seventh chords. It's not really clear what the key is, which is cool. And then what I love about this song is that it continually surprises you as a listener. Like, I think that's one of the things I value most about this song and the other tracks on your EP is, frankly, with a lot of music, you can often hear where it's going. And that's not a bad thing by any means, you know. A lot of the pleasure, I think, in pop music is knowing where something's gonna go and like appreciating the execution of it. But with your music, it's like, I don't know where it's gonna go. And that even starts in this piano riff because first we have the first part, which goes like this. So that's the first part of this piano riff. And then it moves here, which I just, the first time I heard it, I was like, whoa, I did not see that coming. Right, again, close enough, an approximation.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Nice. Well, that's really validating.
Hey, that was so easy for you to play. I'm so jealous. I wish I could just quickly learn like that.
Right, but I wouldn't come up with that. Is it fair to say that your lack of theoretical training might take you to places that I wouldn't go?
Because you haven't been the first person to tell me that, actually. The bassist in my band and the keyboardist in my band, they both said that to me because I was really frustrated and I was kind of like, I do still to this day want to get some piano lessons just to like move a little quicker. But they were like, oh, I kind of feel like it's always good, you know, not really knowing anything when you're writing because it's a whole different ear. Whereas if you're a classically trained, skilled pianist or something like that, it seems to make everything more scientific on the music theory side of things. Whereas like if you're just a new brain kind of just doing what you love, essentially,
right, you know, then you're doing things that people haven't heard before.
Exactly.
Like this little moment, which just, every time I hear it, I'm just like, what? Where did that come from? If you accept that surprise is an element of your compositional aesthetic, that continues through this track, because once again, like, what you might expect from this song doesn't happen. No. Like, if I'm listening to the start of this with these gorgeous chords and soulful vocals, I'm kind of expecting something like maybe like a really stripped back R&B
yeah.
feel, like some West Coast, like the internet or something. I don't know. That's what I expect, like a slow jam.
I think that's what I was attempting to do in the beginning when I started writing this song, and then I ended up going somewhere.
Right. And let's see where you ended up going, because for those who haven't heard it before, this might be one of the first surprises you encounter. That incredible beat come from?
Well, I had gotten a whole bunch of different sounds and stuff like that
yeah.
that day, so I think I was really like excited to just kind of spend hours going through all these different sounds and stuff like that. And so I had taken like a simple like Logic sound
yeah.
and added another very like squarey bassy kind of sound to it, and then went up an octave and just added an arpeggiator and just played the same chords and did that. At first, I really questioned whether or not I wanted to just keep it straight piano.
Right.
But I really did want it to be quite an upbeat song and be lighter or brighter, I should say, because of what the lyrics were about. They are said in a nice way, but they are very about getting angry and just like,
right.
lashing out on people and being very brutally honest with them. It was very important to me to kind of have that whole thing to it, because I knew what I was trying to write about, which I didn't have the lyrics at the time, but I knew exactly what it was going to be talking about. So that's kind of where the whole like bouncy house
yeah.
type, all of a sudden the beat has a very dance hall thing. That sound was kind of really popular at the time, and or still is to this day.
Totally.
But it had just kind of come out, you know, and I was very in love with that
yeah.
that whole rhythm. So I was like, oh, I want to do something like that. I want to kind of just have that feeling, and it's something that makes you really want to move and stuff like that. So or like, kind of jump out and dance, but like not in like a like sexy way, kind of just the way where you're just like kind of like shaking your head and moving your body and just like letting it out,
like a
losing your cool,
a cathartic way perhaps.
Yeah,
yeah. Very cool. That's yeah. an amazing moment. And it's not the last surprise we're gonna encounter. That was a moment when I first listened to this song where I just had to like pick my jaw up off the floor, because I was like, wait, what just happened? So surprise number three, tell us about what we're hearing here.
Okay, so those are actual other sounds that I got. It was a whole library that I had purchased because I really was very important to me, again, to incorporate a lot of Indian sounds and stuff like that. And whether it was percussion or, you know, sitar or,
yeah.
or even just vocal samples. And I was going to actually do it myself, kind of do some Indian, like classical, like Carnatic, very flowy singing and stuff like that. But I really wanted a male voice to do it. And so I was looking online for some samples and stuff like that, but I didn't really find anything that I liked. And then I Googled to certain like libraries for a plugin that I use. And this whole library came up, and it was just a bunch of like random sounds
huh.
in the sky, like just singing, and they had different keys and stuff like that. And so it was really perfect for me. I just sampled him, and now I use him in a lot of the songs on the EP because of the fact that, I mean, the whole EP really has to do a lot with my mom. So I wanted it to really sound like India. She's not from India. She's from Germany, but India was definitely her home. We lived there when I was younger, and she would have lived out the rest of her life there. So I was like, okay, I want this to also sound like her. And I just love that sound
yeah.
as well. So that's why I ended up using him. But he's in a lot of the songs. So I've like named him, like, sometimes I call him Raja, sometimes I call him Raju.
Right. We also hear Raju.
Yes.
on your track Space as well.
Yes.
which creates a great continuity through the EP. And as you say, is not just a musical choice, but a personal choice.
Yes.
Not only did your mom spend time in India, you did as well, right?
Yes. Her choice, obviously. I was 9 at the time, so I didn't really get to make decisions.
Yeah.
But I was happy about it because we were living in New York prior to that. And then she really wanted to go back to India. And she had been to India with my brother, who was 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
When he was very little, younger than I was when she took me. And I think she really thought it was important for me to experience it. And she really wanted to go back to further her studies in Thangka painting and stuff like that. So we moved when I was 9 to 12. So I got to experience that whole vibe. And I think that's also when I really did fall in love with music there, but not necessarily because of Indian music or classical Indian music. It just kind of fell in love with singing and such because of what my mom was listening to at the time, which was like Ella Fitzgerald. But because of that, I really then became very into music and even Indian music and the sounds that they use. And as I got older, I really, you know, fell more and more in love with it.
Thinking about the construction of this song based on something you said when we were talking about Kendrick, which is the goal of making your music meaningful no matter what, it actually helps me understand or gives me a little insight into like how these disparate sounds came together, because it's all about meaning, I guess. These sounds are there because they're important to you and they reflect what you want to say and what you want to convey. So maybe it's like, because I was like puzzling over this. I was like, how does this work? Like, because on paper, I'm not sure. If you told me like, oh, this song combines R&B piano, tropical house, drums, and Carnatic Indian vocals, I'd be like, no, that's not a good idea. And yet when you listen to this, it's a very good idea. So maybe like an answer to my puzzling over that is, what is the common thread here? And it's you.
I guess so. Definitely. It all goes back to my mom, I think, because it was how she had raised me. And I mean, I wouldn't have gone there or even known really about the Indian culture at all if it wasn't for her. And again, like this whole EP is kind of just how I dealt with losing her. And again, I really wanted to make this sound, represent her and sound like her and kind of show her in a musical way so that people could kind of know her on that side of things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's definitely why I incorporated that. And I just really love those sounds, so it was like a win-win situation.
Totally.
In a sense. And Raju sounds awesome. Raju. Really happy to have him on.
Mystery Man Raju is like one of my new favorite vocalists. You mentioned that you're trying to move away, in fact, from the piano.
Yes.
Are you working on some new music now?
I am working on new music. It's hard to move away from the piano for me because I always start on the piano, but I'm just finding myself just falling right back into it. But I'm definitely kind of not really, I still have some Indian accents here, but I've now, I don't know, I'm kind of just trying also again to stay away from that. I'm just, because maybe if I write about my mom or sometimes again like meaning, you know, behind it. But I don't know, I've been kind of doing more of like this Brazilian like bossa nova type thing, percussion wise and rhythmically, so kind of going down that path right now, but we'll see. I could end up somewhere completely different, but that's where I am, like in the writing head zone right now.
Right. Well, you gotta know thyself, you gotta.
But you never know, it could completely change. But that's kind of what I'm doing. I've always been in love, you know, with like Stan Getz and Gilberto. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and you know, the whole Gilberto family.
Yeah.
So it's always been, again, something that my mom used to listen to when I was younger and that I fell in love with as well. So I think that's probably where I take a lot of my influence from, is things that I used to listen to as a kid because of her.
Totally. So. Well, I'm really excited now to hear that the next batch of music, bossa nova, jazz, you know, psychedelic Indian music. I'm just excited to hear whatever musical combination you come up with next. It's like
the
fruit roll-up factory. It's like, what is going on in there? Amber Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was really fun to talk about Kendrick and to sort of get inside the DNA of your own music.
No pun intended.
Your EP 333 AM is available everywhere.
Yes.
And you are currently on tour. Well, let's see. This will come out in 2 weeks. So
I don't know if I'll be on tour then. but I was on tour.
You just wrapped an incredible
I did. Tour. It was amazing.
Except for that one show.
Yeah. I was in Houston, you know.
It was really? Great.
Yeah, October 13th, I was in Houston.
Wow.
It was great.
Yeah. So this was your first national tour.
This
and
was
you,
my...
you already have some like tales.
Yes,
from,
I did.
From the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I played Radio City in New York City.
Unreal. So keep an eye out for Amber's concerts and new music. And when your LP drops, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
Until then, thanks for listening to Switched on Pop. This episode was produced by me, Nate Sloan, edited by Bill Lance. Design is by Luke Harris. You can reach us at switchedonpop.com or tweet us at switchedonpop. Amber, your handle?
Oh, on Instagram is Instagramber.
Wait.
That's my
Let's
main
just pause
social.
For a moment to appreciate the sublime pun. Okay.
Yes.
Instagramber.
At Instagramber. My Twitter. Oh, God. I don't know. Amber Mark, I think. It's got a 3 instead of an E. I was trying to be creative.
There. Yeah.
But definitely follow me on Instagram. That's definitely my main form of social media. But it all links together. So I'm
right.
sure you'll find, you know, my Twitter on my Instagram.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Facebook, yeah. Now that I know your Instagram name is Instagramber, that's all I care about.
That's all you need to know. The other ones aren't as interesting.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Until then, thanks for listening.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.